sun, and may we who are grief-stricken become alive and know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken-hearted see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief stricken become alive and know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken hearted see her light come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken come alive and know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken-hearted see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken come alive and know the ultimate frame of mind.
Frame of mind.
She is the sun, and may we who are broken-hearted see her light and come to know.
Frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken hearted see her light and come to know radiance.
So good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Wholesome Radio. I'm your host, Olivia Rose Penner Wilson, and I'm super excited to welcome this week's guest in the studio. We have Nadine Richardson, who is the creator of She Births. And Nadine is revolutionising the process of birthing here in Australia. And we're super lucky to have her as a Bondi local. I believe that she had a 3-minute commute up here this morning. So
that's pretty cool. I love that my office, my house and the radio station are all in a 3-minute radius. That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah. I could just call you up all the time and be like, hey, Nadine, you want to come up here?
Come to
the
decks, no worries.
Now, for those listeners who haven't heard of She Births before, it's the world's only scientifically verified childbirth education program. And I'm imagining in my mind that She Births probably has been birthed out of your own story own birthing experience.
Yeah.
Would that be a correct feeling?
Absolutely. I think when you kind of, anyone out there just wondering what they should do or what if they should create a business, you should like be thinking, okay, well, what problems have I had or the people nearest me? And if you find that solution, then I'm pretty sure you're going to find a whole bunch of other people out there who've had that problem. So you should just go on out and do something. Not that it was ever that goal for me to ever make it into a business. It's just kind of sort of overtaken itself and kept going. But yeah, really, you know, 16 years ago, I was preparing to give birth to my son, Leroy, and I was getting ready and looking for great yoga and looked into the best birth education, and I thought I was prepared. I did it like a 3-month course, and then when I got into that labor experience, it was like, whoa, it's like a sort of being hit by a truck sometimes. Like, that's intense, man. And then we kind of got to the, you know, giving birth moment, and it was pretty amazing, like just experiencing meeting your child and falling in love with them and having this profound experience of knowing and intuition and connection, like that just can't even really be translated into words. But then, like the weeks later, I was just trying to sort of reflect upon the birth and understand it a little bit more, and you know, why it had been such a long, challenging process and why I'd needed medical assistance. And I just really felt like I just hadn't been prepared at all by the birth education, and I just thought, what's going on here? Like, why is there so much? I felt a whole lot of misinformation was being thrown around. I felt there was a huge amount of taboos, things people weren't talking about. There's a whole lot of myths around childbirth, and there's just a whole lot of poor education. And I just really wanted to know everything I could about birth. And so I just started speaking to people, all my yoga students, and I started reading books, and then I became a doula, and then I studied lots of birth education modules around the world. And I just knew from my birthing experiences and the hours I spent in the labor room that I had to create this extraordinary program that gave couples everything, the knowledge they needed, the tools that the woman needed, the tools that the partner needed. They just needed to have everything so that you could pick and choose on the day what was working, because birth is such an intense experience, but it has a lot of complexities to it that you know, create different experiences, and everyone feels things differently. And so we need choice. We need to pick and choose from the toolkit, and we need knowledge to get us through to make a birth beautiful no matter what unfolds. That's really important.
100%. Giving birth is such an integral part of life, and we have to endure it if we want to procreate. I mean, let's face it, most women go through this process.
They do, rock in a hard place.
And there's quite a stigma around childbirth being sort of extremely painful and something that people almost want to avoid in a way. And I'm someone who's yet to experience it. I do want to have children one day, so I will go through it. But it can be depicted as quite a scary thing, you know, in TV shows and Hollywood movies. You know, they always picture this woman screaming and the dad's there trying to help them, and they're screaming at the dad and asking for drugs and, you know, like all this, all of this sort of thing. And from the outside, as someone who hasn't experienced it yet, it just looks terrifying.
Yeah, it does, right?
What do you have to say on the stigma, and how are you going about trying to change
it?
Well,
it's funny, like, I've got a background in film, and, you know, media is so incredibly powerful. Mm. And in the last, say, 5 years, mm-hmm. so I've been teaching she births for nearly 10 and been in that birthing field for about 15. I would say in the last five, the experience of women, or the sort of what I get from them when they come into my space to become prepared, I would say now the majority of are walking around with an extreme chronic phobia of birth. And I really believe that the media has played a huge role in perpetuating that. Mm. Like, we have to be intelligent enough, just like my son is, to be able to see through media. This, mm-hmm. my son is like so switched on that they just mm-hmm. see through all marketing campaigns, they see through all politicians. And I think we just kind of might have awoken to that maybe 10 years ago. I don't know when that sort of started shifting in consciousness, but like, you're being played. Mm. And what makes great television is not normal birth. Mm. Because normal birth tends to be a lot slower, a lot less dramatic. Mm. There's a, in a 12-hour labor, there's like maybe 90 minutes of contractions total. There's a whole bunch of boring space in between. Yeah. And, you know, human beings love to entertain negativity and trauma. Even like Albert Camus, the French philosopher, said at the end of his career, you know, I've failed, because all I wanted to do was write about how beautifully profound and magical our world is, but all I've been able to do is write about disasters and trauma. And that's what the media loves to do, because it sells. And well, we just got to see through it.
It's a form of expression, really, isn't it? You see it in a lot of artists and a lot of music and a lot of, you know, sort of anything to do with the art world. A lot of people are expressing pain or trauma through their art, and I guess that's their own way of transmuting that energy or that negative feeling or emotion.
Yeah, but is it that's through art we transmute, but what gets perpetuated, like when people watch television, we're in a semi-hypnotic state, so we're incredibly neuroplastic.
Yeah.
So the subconscious mind is just receiving and encoding negative medical traumatic experiences where the couple have no agency over their process whatsoever. So birth doesn't have to be like that. Mm. And, you know, if the human brain actually is receiving and encoding negativity five times more rapidly than it does positivity, we actually have to be discerning now in this age of information, of YouTube and Google, to pull back and start to screen the content that comes into our inner world. Yeah. And for me, you know, yoga's about that. My spiritual teacher said, never entertain negativity. Like, it's not an easy thing to do, but the world is beautiful. You get up and here we are looking at the beach and the sun's shining and the colors have been changing and the clouds are moving, and we're a part of that beauty if we just allow it and we can tune to see it. I'm not saying that birth doesn't hurt, because it can hurt like hell sometimes, and we need to acknowledge that too, but life does hurt sometimes, and that's just a part of it.
It's,
you know,
the light and the dark, you know, the yin and the yang.
Totally.
The feminine and masculine.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm. Now, I've asked you to send me a few songs in this morning, because as a sound therapist, I love to get a feel for where each person that I interview is at, you know, what sort of energy they're taking in and what energy is inspiring them at the moment.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to play a song by Elle May called Diamond Girl. And is there anything that you wanted to add in about this song? Or
Yeah. I met Lara, who wrote this song, in LA. Friends set us up to catch up, and she's just the most gorgeous girl. She's an Aussie girl in America, and she just did all the music for Glow, for that cool female wrestling show on Netflix. And I listened to this song and I just loved it. And I think it's, firstly, I just love hearing like an Australian accent in a song as well. That's really fun. Like, it's like sort of that little Missy Higgins sound, that Aussie sound coming through. It's really cool. And I also, it just makes me laugh, because I enjoy pop as well as alternative music. But she's so talking about like that handing over of power to our partners or to others. And for me, you know, it's pretty personal, I suppose. I feel like I have in my life handed my power over to others, to rely on them to tell me how wonderful I am, or in business too. I've done that a lot, and it hurts when you try and take your power back. But and then they're teaching that all the time too, teaching couples that they have knowledge and power and they can choose. And many people without that knowledge can't. They just hand their power over. So it's about that, but it's fun and quirky as well.
Yeah, amazing. Here it is, Diamonds Girl by Elle May.
When he puts you above, they're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover all of your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside. Baby, when he puts you above, they're gonna love it, but don't wait until he's here to uncover all of your diamonds, girl, 'cause they're all inside.
He was my spark, my elevator, up and out. I couldn't see
Isn't she awesome?
So cool.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the program, the She Births program? You run the course online and face-to-face.
Yeah, yeah.
And we obviously know who the course is targeted at, but what can people expect when they sign up with She Births?
Well, as soon as you sign up, you get access to two of our like amazing online resources pages, and that's a really great way of kind of exposing yourself to the reality of a beautiful birth. Mm-hmm. So you get lots of videos and information and that you can start implementing immediately about diet and health and yoga. And you start to be able to listen to stories of couples talking about how they've been able to take the principles and the tools from She Births and just apply it to their own unique experience, because every birth is unique, every couple is unique, every baby's unique. So mm-hmm. you've got to be able to apply and see it in different scenarios. And then people start doing visualizations as well. And then they come along to the 2-day program, mm-hmm. which is intense. There's no way around it because we cover so much, mm-hmm. but like we're just state changing all the time. So it'll be a great presentation, and then it'll be interaction with your partner, and then it'll be a video, and then it'll be practical application, mm-hmm. then it'll be a group interaction. So it's a really dynamic program. I often found that when people teach adults, they sort of relate to people like adults, like they're dumb. Mm. And I just found that really hard, and I find it hard in cinema. I find it hard in life. And even raising your child, like we need to relate to one another like we are extremely intelligent, and mm-hmm. people will step into that space. So we expect mm-hmm. people to just come and receive and engage, and yep. they love it. They have these two amazing days. They often look completely different by the end of the Sunday afternoon. Usually a lot more comfortable and relaxed in their bodies. Mm-hmm. They look rejuvenated in their faces. And they've kind of like melting into one another. They're a little bit more comfortable with intimacy with each other. Yeah. And they just feel completely different. They have an idea of what birth for them can be like. So they've mm-hmm. gone from that stigma kind of medicalized traumatic idea and mm-hmm. the images, and we've flushed them all out and helped them formulate ideas and values and qualities that they would mm. want to put in their own. So, you know, often like just a connected birth experience or a loving mm. birth experience, but really birth, you know, can be the most enriching and empowering and bonding experience of our lives. And and I believe that's what it was designed for. It's a rite of passage for that. And then after the course, they get two more pages of amazing online resources to help integrate that knowledge and to keep going. And they get a book and they get cool stuff and mm-hmm. cheat sheets and all those things that make life easy yeah. when you're learning.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine it would be really, really fulfilling, especially for the male, for the partner yeah. coming along, because quite often it's something that you hear males say is like, oh, you know, are you excited about the prospect of becoming a dad? And they're like, I'm petrified. And it's yeah. always kind of the answer. So I can imagine going along to a She Births course yeah. and getting all of the information and being a part of that process
yeah.
can really help them not only to be a great support person for their partner, yeah. for the female, but also to help them in themselves know yeah. what to expect and know what's going to happen.
Oh, it's criminal, mate. It's criminal sending a support person in. Like, and so we... You know, it's just partners get all these amazing ways that they can help their mm. mom labor more easily. It's just so wrong that we should be asking partners to come into the room and not really even know anything about birth and be the primary support person, because mm. that's what this generation is being asked. Mm. And like, talk about throwing people into the fire blind. Mm. It's overwhelming enough for us women, but let mm-hmm. alone the blokes the majority of the time. So, yeah, I think they're often our biggest fans, the partners, because mums are going from knowing a little bit, but dads are really going from zero to hero in a couple of days. So they're actually our biggest fans that send a lot of people back in. Yeah. Yes, it's a lot of talk, I think, in the office on Monday. That the moment anyone's pregnant, they have to go and do She Births. So that's a lot of, yeah, the partners are sending partners, yeah.
Amazing. And in the program, you empower couples with a lot of different things. You use active birthing, hypnosis, yoga, acupressure, yep. massage, visualization,
yep.
nutrition and pain management.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how these things can help equip you in times of challenge?
Yeah, well, what really equips you is having the whole toolkit.
Yeah.
And that's just so critical. And having tools that you can just pick and choose and apply as you. It's like a choose your own adventure. It's a bespoke, mm-hmm. you know, course, because birth is a completely bespoke experience. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to adapt to the continual changes of labor, and what's comfortable now is probably not going to be comfortable an hour later. So nature mm-hmm. is continually, as the baby moves around and down, you need to change positions, and you need to maybe spiral the hips, and then in a couple of hours later you're really going to be anchoring yourself with the breath or grounding yourself, or your partner's going to help anchor you. And so different tools really help in numerous ways. And when we survey our couples, the majority of them say that they use all of the tools, every mm-hmm. single one. And funnily enough, what comes up top, of course, is the breathing. Mm-hmm. And then after that actually comes spiraling. Mm-hmm. We teach belly dance for birth. Mm-hmm. And then after that is yoga. Mm. So, you know, the active movement is just as important as the focusing and connecting to your breath.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And there are thousands of resources, and books to read when it comes to childbirth. How do you feel couples benefit from face-to-face interaction and learning?
I'm just not a reader-learner. That's just neither not my favourite way.
Like, I'm one of those people that I can read an entire book and come out at the end and go, I have no idea what that was about.
I need to hear it. I need to see it. I need to feel it. You know, there's that old saying, you know, if you really want to learn something, you have to, like, teach it as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we are facilitating that, like a lot of dialogue in the room happens between partners, so they communicate around where that acupressure, whether it's right or mm. whether that massage is right and so on. So they're teaching each other as well. Mm. I don't know. When I was pregnant with Leroy, I really wasn't interested in reading somebody else's perspective or opinions on birth and parenting. Mm. And there wasn't a huge amount to choose from, right? We didn't have Amazon.com and eBay and all these things, Booktopia. I think I read Active Birth and Spiritual Midwifery, and maybe I had one encyclopedic book. And then for parenting, I read this really alternative book about a family in Wales called, like, The Children on the Hill that were all homeschooled, and I read Jean Liedeloff's The Continuum Concept. And I personally don't think that, like, I needed to read any more, because at the end of the day, birth is about discovering your own inner resources and strengths and intuition. And that's what an interactive course can give you, I think, so much more. And a dialogue with your partner can give you so much more when you mirror and reflect back to each other. And that, to me, is much more, you know, powerful than reading any book at all. Mm. Yeah.
Well, reading is only one form of learning, you know.
Yeah.
When you do something interactive, you're reading, you're listening, you're touching, you're feeling, getting feedback.
You pick up one pregnancy book or one birthing book, and then you pick up another, and they'll totally contradict each other. And a lot of couples come in and look, different constitutions, more pitta constitutions. They have to read everything. Good for them. Yep. That's awesome. And do it, but it's very overwhelming sometimes when all of that contradicting information comes through. So people come and do the course and they're like, oh, thank God, we've got a compass now. Mm-hmm. And everything we read, we can bring into the philosophy and align it with the She Births principles. And I think that's really important. And, like, what's going on with the world? Like, seriously, there was, like, in the 70s when I was born, there was Dr. Spock's book on parenting. That's all there was, which is a pretty good book, actually. Mm. And now when we search on Amazon, there's over 350,000 titles on parenting. I really don't think those people are experts for how you raise your child.
I really don't
think they are.
It's just one person's opinion. Everyone's writing books it's left, right and center, isn't it?
Yeah.
And do you think that coming together as parents in the community and connecting with each other is important from a support perspective? Because you know, if people are coming together, say in the Bondi community here, and they're doing the course with you, quite often these people will all live around the corner from each other.
Yeah.
And that can be a really powerful thing. You know, they might live right next door to each other and not even know that they're both having the same experience.
That's so true.
And it's so true of life. You know, when you live in cities, quite often you don't really connect with the people around you. But
yeah,
coming together and doing this course together and going through the process together as yeah, local families, then
absolutely,
you form a bit of a network and a bit of a web of support people around you.
Yeah, I mean, there's common things going on, and there's nothing more lonely and isolating than being a new mum locked up in your apartment on your own while your partner is back at work.
Mm.
And it's not meant to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why postnatal depression is so dramatically high in Australia. Like 2,000 mm-hmm. men and women each week are diagnosed with pre or postnatal depression each week. Wow. In Australia.
Wow.
And I do believe that for sure there's a contributing factor of traumatic birth experiences that's creating that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the loneliness of the nuclear family, individualized capitalistic society mm-hmm. that we live within has a lot to answer for. And yeah, so, yeah, ever since, because I'm a yogi and I'm a celebrant, like mm-hmm. as soon as She Births began, I was creating mothers groups. We call them soul mama circles.
Yeah.
And now they are, because people come from all over Australia, they fly in to do my course, but we set them up to have like groups online mm-hmm. as well. And now we've got educators in Perth, in Brisbane, in Nambour, in Adelaide, and they'll be doing that too. Yeah. And all over Melbourne and yeah, and Singapore and Switzerland and England. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they'll be doing that
wow.
too. And it's just so important. And they love it. Those groups of mums and babies, the babies love it too, because they all learn and they see all these different age spectrums and different development going on. And there's so much to learn and to share. It's such a beautiful time when you can share it. It's not as overwhelming, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, another song that I've asked you to prepare for us is a song by Nadav. And it's called Diamonds and Pearls.
Yeah.
Is there any specific story behind this song and why you chose it?
Well, this is a new album from Nadav. And I was actually doula for Nadav and his beautiful wife, Jessie Chapnik Khan. And they gave me this album, I think, when she was pregnant. And so I've had it for a long time and I was just so excited when you said, you can choose three songs. I was like, oh my God. And then I wanted to choose these. And then I realized they have actually just released them now on Spotify and iTunes. So this yep. song is Nadav's new sort of interpretation of pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's interpreted it to me really reveals the beauty and the spirituality and the wisdom and the sacredness mm-hmm. in the lyrics that mm-hmm. you don't hear normally. Mm-hmm. The way he sings it is revealing of that. And I was really excited. Nadav and I had a great chat about this ages ago, just about how much the everyday is beautiful and sacred. And that's mm-hmm. what birth is as well. And that's what yep. parenting is. If we just stop and acknowledge and connect and honor it,
mm-hmm.
that's what. So we're doing the same kind of thing in music and in birth. So that's why yep. I love it.
Beautiful. Here it is, Diamonds and Pearls by Nadav.
Is right if we always fight, why can't we just let love decide? Am I the weaker man because I understand that love must be the mind?
master plan. If I gave you diamonds and pearls, would you be a happy boy or a girl? If I could, I would give you the world, but all I can do is offer you my love. To the I, to the A, to the N.
Such a beautiful song. Oh, God.
I'm really
enjoying the music this morning that you've put forward.
Cool. So much fun.
So much fun. Mm. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning that this course is scientifically verified. Yes. How are you approached for this research to be conducted?
Yeah, it's a big deal when this amount of research happens. Sort of, like, it's huge.
Did it come out of sort of scrutiny, or did it come out of someone just being really intrigued?
No, just the usual. Good things can come out of traumatic births. So a woman had heard about me. She lived on the North Shore, and she started coming over to the Dharmashala to do prenatal yoga. Mm-hmm. And then she just spoke to me at the end of class and said, like, I've had two such traumatic births. I was even petrified of falling pregnant again. And we've had this little accident. That's why I'm here. And I really am absolutely petrified. And I'm not allowed to have an epidural this time because I've got a blood clot issue. And I don't know how I'm going to get through birth. Can I come and do a private she births course mm-hmm. with you? And I said, sure, come along. So we did a private she births course, and she'd actually done three other different birth education programs with her last pregnancies and even with that one and was still petrified and also didn't feel like she had enough to get through. And when she did she births, she's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Mm. And I would really like to study your course. I said, well, okay, off you go, darling, and just have your baby first and let me know how you go.
One thing at a time.
And she was a perinatal researcher at the Royal North Shore Hospital, and she did go and have a great birth. And it was, you know, healing and empowering for her and her partner. And she just said, do you, you know, can I do my PhD on this? And I've been given some grants, and I said, sure, let's do it. And so, yeah, we worked very closely, and I trained her. She'd never been a childbirth educator before, and so because they couldn't afford to pay me to deliver the SheBirths programs, I trained her to deliver the programs. And, yeah, 147 people went through the SheBirths, and then there was, you know, the other 147 went through standard birth education programs in a couple of hospitals, and the results were dramatic, like groundbreaking, world first. Yeah, yeah. It's exciting.
So amazing. Yeah. There's a lot of really impressive results on there, like a 65% reduction in epidural rates, 44% reduction in cesarean sections. Overall, you found like a 44% increase in natural vaginal births.
Normal birth. So normal birth is, at the vag, but it can be with or without an epidural. That's the way the government defines it. So that increase is dramatic. And it took then the normal birth possibility that the government set up, 10 years ago, saying we really need to do something about the increasing C-section rates, because the truth is, in Australia and in America and so on, 50 years ago, 1 in 10 women were having cesareans. And now we're looking at 1 in 3 in the public hospital and 1 in 2 in the private hospital. So something has gone wrong. Yeah. Something is majorly awry in 50 years we get such an increase. And there's many factors that have created that, and some of that is media, and some of that is, you know, what we were talking about, the fear.
Sort of a rise in fear, really, isn't it? Women are so deadly afraid.
There's a few other factors.
That they sort of want to elect to be cut open. But I'm not sure the truth behind this, but my mom was telling me something at some point about vaginal birth and it's, you know, when the baby passes through the vagina, you sort of get a bit of a coating, a bacterial coating, and that's really important for the baby's immune system and things like that.
It is. It's like we call it seeding the microbiome. So, you know, it's still quite new science, and the sort of interpretations of the evidence do show us now. They're indicating that that journey through the vagina, mm-hmm. that baby kind of ingesting actually some of that vaginal flora, mm-hmm. is what starts to initiate or seed the microbiome, which is really the mm-hmm. immune strength of that child's life, for the child going forward for the rest of their mm-hmm. lives. So it seeds bacteria, because within the vagina there is a completely unique lactobacillus that can't mm-hmm. be replicated, created or found anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And we know that babies who are born via cesarean section do tend to have immunity challenges. Mm. And they have a great increase in respiratory conditions like asthma and eczema and even, you know, obesity issues. So there's a whole lot of factors there. Now, it's complex. Like, it's not just this one experience, this one mm-hmm. thing of coming through the vag that's going to set you up with a strong immunity or not mm-hmm.
yeah.
in life. There's other factors that we can do to contribute to strengthening the microbiome. And, there's skin on skin. And then there's, and I think that's probably, you know, so incredibly important from the births that I've seen and the immunity of children going forward, that lots of skin on skin time and then breastfeeding and, so there's lots of factors and, you know, living in a home with love is a great immunity promoter as well, and chiropractics and so many things we can utilize to enhance and strengthen immunity in our children. But, yeah, there is this microbiome that gets seeded through the vaginal flora as well. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
And how has the research affected your business? Has being the only scientifically verified birthing education program meant a lot of growth for the business? Like, was that sort of a moment throughout your business that really sort of catapulted you forward?
Yeah, look, I never created She Births to create a business. Like, it just was never, like I was just saying to you when I came in, it's like, wow, you know, like here we are in Bondi. I'm just a solo mum yoga teacher, just like, a lot
doing
of people
my
doing my thing, and then all of a sudden you're running this like massive company and you're a CEO, and it's been a big learning curve for me, and it still is every day. But I owe it to the world to give She Births to every woman that I can.
Yeah.
Every woman deserves it, and so that's our mission, and that was the mission before the study. But the study, you know, came out mid-July last year, and of course since then, like, course numbers overflowing, and it's incredibly popular. And then we have some pretty exciting news and some great strategies that I'm working on that will be announced in the next couple of weeks. But whatever we can do to make birth beautiful around the world, change that meme of birth from like it's a medicalized traumatic experience to a beautiful one, is what we're all about at the Birthing Institute. And She Births is really critical to that, giving women the knowledge and the tools and partners to be able to have a beautiful birth no matter what unfolds.
Beautiful. I'm sure you probably hear it a lot, but it seems like such rewarding work that you do, helping families on their journey of bringing a new soul into this world. What are your spiritual views on childbirth, and how do you think that babies can suffer trauma from challenging births?
Yeah, wow. Okay. Some big questions in there.
Yes, some big questions.
Is it rewarding work? Yes, it is. And I never tire of like bumping into families and getting Facebook messages and emails and thank yous and from all over the world saying, you know, thank you. Even after the course, like one this morning, I'm over in Italy and I'm doing the online course, and I just want to thank you so much that now I feel excited about meeting my baby. And before it was just dread and fear. And then all the thank yous coming and saying, my partner was just amazing, and, you know, we just had the most extraordinary experience. So, yeah, I don't ever get tired of that. It's still really moving for me, and I cry a lot because of, you know, how significant the work is, and I wish every woman could have it for sure.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the online course, because it's so, you know, reasonably priced, even overseas. I think it's GST free. So, you know, people can get it for a bargain, and that's really important. But yeah, what was the other question?
So moving more into sort of spiritual views of childbirth and the idea that possibly children suffer trauma from a sort of very medical or challenging, very disconnected birth.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Well, look, I don't think you have to be spiritual at all to acknowledge that children can suffer, babies can suffer trauma from birth, no matter what the delivery is. Just on a sort of physiological level, you know, I would recommend that a lot of couples, I would say the majority really, should take their babies post-birth to a good chiro or osteo that can do pediatric work, because babies have to twist and turn and work really hard and wriggle their way out of the body, even if they've been born by a cesarean section as well. It's quite a rough procedure for a human being to come into the world either way.
I can only imagine, you know, like you're in this beautiful warm sack of fluid.
We call it the womb palace,
All of a sudden something happens, you're being pushed out into the world.
Squeezed and
then there's,
squished.
You know, there's... Back in the day, I'm not sure that they use forceps anymore, but, you know, sometimes they'd be grabbed by the head and yanked out and, you know, all of this sort of quite traumatic stuff can happen. I imagine being a tiny, tiny, well, we all were one once.
Yeah.
But not that we have much memory of it, but I can imagine that's horrifying, you know?
Yeah, I think it's an incredibly imprinting time. We know now scientifically that the pregnancy also imprints in a child's psyche. You know, things like, because when we can look at things like Holocaust survivors and survivors of survivors, and we look at that lineage, we can see genetic traits towards, you know, depression and how that can carry through in utero, and which is, it's very confronting information for all of us, because none of us ever have the perfect pregnancy, let me tell you. I actually drank quite a lot of red wine during my pregnancy just to manage the stress of being pregnant at the time. So, you know, there's all these things that we do that we will try and persecute and feel guilty about, and we should just drop that right now. So I'm going to get that disclaimer out. But I think what's really significant is the birthing process imprints the emotional connection to others. And what I believe happens in, if we can stay connected to our bodies and to our babies and to our partners and create a loving, connected environment, gentle space for that child to be born into, and if we can be inclusive and loving, connected with that baby when they're brought up into our arms and stay in that space, that I think is the biggest imprint that's going on. And that's where I believe a child learns what intimacy is. And through that tracking of the parent's face, so that child can see better in those few hours after birth than they can for the next few months. It's just there within them to be able to bond to who's going to care for me. But that gazing into each other's eyes and that being together in that big warm cuddle is so, so imprinting. So if a mother is like mine was, you know, had been given a whole lot of drugs that she said she didn't want and is hallucinating at the time and doesn't really recall the experience of meeting me, the baby, then I think it's very hard to have an emotional connection, an authentic, genuine connection, because if it's not there and seeded in that moment, it's hard for that forest to grow. So that's my personal experience.
Just having some sort of, not memories, I suppose, because I don't remember being born or having those first few memories of that, but I have a memory of my mum is always saying to me that when I was born, my dad picked me up and he really held me. And apparently I had these huge blue eyes and I was just staring around the room with my huge blue eyes. And that's mum's first memories of me, was just, you know, looking over my dad's shoulder and staring at everything my eyes really wide open. And it's funny that you sort of mentioned that bonding time, because I was always such a daddy's girl. And possibly, you know, it's because he was the first person to hold me, and I had that bonding time with him when I was first born.
I think so. I definitely think so. And I think that's why it's so beautiful to have partners in the room, you know, to maybe be the ones to catch their baby. You know, sometimes that's such an empowering thing as a woman when the midwife says, you know, put your hands down into the bath or put your hands down and lift your baby out. You know, I think it's so wild to do that. And, yeah, I will never forget the moment that I looked into Leroy's eyes. He was actually half in my body, half out. So it was like head born, which is so weird, like their head just in and then the body, like head out and body in. And he did like the whole funky turn. They do this amazing turn to get their shoulders into the right position. And at that point when he turned, he opened his eyes and he looked at every single person. Like he just tracked around the whole room and we were all just like, whoa. He had such a strong energy. And yeah, then he came up to beside me and it was such an extraordinarily sacred, timeless, silent, present moment. It was profound. Yeah. Changes you forever.
Yeah. Everyone talks about those first moments as a mother when the child is placed in your arms, and all my friends that have given birth and had children talk about that extreme profound feeling of love that you feel, and they're just like, I never knew that I could feel this way.
Yeah, and I think it's really hard to feel that way if you go through labor and it's traumatic. It's really hard to then separate out the process from the meeting and then, of course, the mothering. So we see these increases in depression, like we were talking about earlier, coming on the back of more and more traumatic births and more isolation. And there's so much we can do that people aren't aware of. You just have to seek it out, you know, to get the information and to get the support to not have a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Because you're going to set yourself up for a long, long time by not.
Yeah. And what's your opinion on the belief that children come into our lives to teach us lessons?
Oh, it's such a good question. I just love that question. And I was talking to my yoga students about that the other day. Of course they come in for that. Why would they come into your life and your body and your family? And I started to tune into that when I was pregnant with Leroy. And I just had this really... I didn't meditate much. I was like a very hectic race around Sydney yoga teacher. But I had this one moment where I really just like dropped in and I just connected with him. And I didn't know it was him, but I just asked him this question, you know, like, what are you going to teach me? And what am I going to teach you? I just like, these questions came and I listened for the answers, and I don't think I can probably share them because I'll probably start crying. But let me just say that they are the very essence of our relationship, and it's profoundly true. They're the center of all things that we do together, and it's magical. If we can acknowledge that truth and embrace it, then just follow that path. Life is easy. And there's nothing to do other than to let your life unfold, be Vedic, and just let it unfold and enjoy it. And, of course, your child is your teacher. Just like the mother is the first guru and the partner is the second, but the child is always the teacher for the parents. And we're here to all evolve. And our kids will out-evolve us. That's the nature of it. But it's our job to try and keep up.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You teach prenatal yoga just down the road here at Dharmashala. When do you advise women to start prenatal yoga classes? Is it as soon as they become pregnant or?
Some do. Like some people that really have got a great yoga practice and they've done lots before, like it's so hard for them to not keep moving and not keep doing yoga. You know, the rules are generally start at 14 weeks. But we definitely have some really experienced yogis that come in at 7, 8. What you'll find, though, generally, that first sort of 7 to 14 at some point, it's just like so exhausting. You're like growing a human and the foundations of that. So people, you just sort of check it out. Like if you start doing your practice, which ours are still quite dynamic classes. I'm not into this prenatal version of yoga that's actually really geriatric yoga, which so many people seem to still think is exciting. I just find it people are so afraid of the pregnant body and they teach these really quite dull geriatric classes. Now we do a lot of movement in ours to keep the energy flowing and to stay fit and strong. But if you're in that first trimester and you come to class and you like go home, you have to sleep for 2 hours, then probably back off and just like chill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come back when you feel stronger.
Cool. We do a lot of breathing exercises in yoga classes called pranayama. And do these breathing exercises help during childbirth, or is it a different set of techniques or tools that you teach in the program?
It's a great question. It's taken me like so many years to refine the yoga, because even though I've been a yoga teacher for over 20 years and I thought I'd be able to cross-apply yoga and breathing techniques into labor, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the way to connect the dots. And so lots of yoga teachers come to SheBirths now and they're like, oh, thank you, you've connected the dots and now we get it. And like, so as a doula, I really developed specific breathing for in between contractions and during contractions, but then, and they're different, very different to yogic breathing. But the, in specifically the Ujjayi pranayama, that rasping sound in the back of the throat, that one, that annoying partner snoring sound, that one, that's a really great way to birth your baby. That's a great foundation for pushing. And so we practice that. So there's some that are the same and some that are really different.
Do you think that's because like the Ujjayi breath builds heat in
the body? Too much heat, totally.
And if you're bringing heat into the body, essentially that's probably relaxing the muscles a little bit and helping
The constriction in the throat. And so the cervix and the throat mirror one another. So unless we fully relax the throat and the face, your pelvis, the pelvic floor and the cervix are not going to soften because of that sacrocranial mirroring. So the face and the neck, and then especially there's 47 muscles right in the face. And if you can just soften the face, the rest of the body follows suit. But yeah, the head and the pelvis, they mirror one another. So to constrict that throat slightly is not going to facilitate dilation. But at pushing, dilation's fully there. We need to get behind our baby's bottoms and push from like our upper abs and soften the pelvic floor. Like that's the most important thing. People think, oh my God, I do my Kegels. I've got to tighten my pelvic floor and strengthen it. No, just learn how to soften. Most girls are walking around with like a hypertonic pelvic floor, particularly yogis as well. And we just need to learn how to soften and relax and let go into that part. So we practice that a lot in the yoga as well.
Cool. And unfortunately, well, fortunately for you, but unfortunately for the people who want to book into your courses, the next couple are booked out for the rest of this year, which is very exciting. But if you do want to book in for January or March courses, they can head over to SheBirths.com. Alternatively, they can book into weekend courses with one of the other highly skilled SheBirths educators.
Yeah, and they're all over the place. We've got Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, Nambour, Perth. All over the North Shore, Northern Beaches. So those girls are all amazing. Like I'm very, very strict about who comes in to teach the program. And they're all wonderful, amazingly trained women. They're awesome.
I can imagine.
And their online course is a bargain. People want to do that. If you're certainly, if you've just discovered us at like 36 weeks, you're like, oh my God,
I just need the information.
Give me the content now. Yes. Do it. Just do it. You'll feel better for it for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. And if you wish to connect with Nadine, you can find all the information on her SheBirths website, which I just mentioned, www.shebirths.com. And also you can connect with her on all the usual social medias, Facebook, Instagram, or at one of her classes at Dharmashala.
Yeah, I'm there on Mondays at 8 a.m. and Saturdays at midday.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Nadine, it's been such a pleasure chatting childbirth with you. Thank you so much for joining me on Wholesome Radio.
Thank you. It was just fantastic to be here looking at the ocean, chatting about birth. It's awesome.
So beautiful. Awesome. And thank you, everybody who tuned in. I've been your host, Olivia Rose Penner-Wilson. And I'll see you next week. We are going to lead out.
Oh, so excited. It's my favorite song.
Nadine's favorite song from Nadav. It's called She Is the Sun. Is there anything you wanted to...
Well, it was actually written by Nadav's wife, Jessica Chapnik Khan. And it's based on a Vedantic text. And, yeah, obviously the she word is in there. And so the first time I heard it, I just, like, bawled my eyes out, not really understanding why. And I keep on trying to understand why. And that's where the juicy stuff is, you know, stuff you can listen to for a long time. You're like, why? I think it's just so resonates with me because it's about restoring she on the planet. And that's what She Births is all about, like, giving back the honor and the value to the feminine. Let's honor pregnancy and let's value our women as birthers, as mothers, and bring balance back into this crazy, like, patriarchal capitalistic structure. Let's bring a little bit of balance. And so She Is the Sun to me is like a masterpiece. I adore it.
All right, here it is. She Is the Sun by Nadav.
She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken become alive, and know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken become alive. Know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken hearted see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken become alive and know the ultimate frame of mind. She is the sun, and may we who are broken see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken become alive and know the sun, and may we who are brokenhearted see her light and come to know radiance. She is the sun, and may we who are grief-stricken
She is the sun, and may we who are broken hearted see her light and come to know.
Come to know Radio.